Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Memory of Ram Golder, and today we're Maseches Pesachim, Daf Kuf Chaf Hav, the 10th parak, Arvei Pesachim, and the final Daf of the Masechta. So the three Dafs we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chaf Amabei stated, HaPigol VaNos Metaminas Yadayim, Pigol, a carbon that became possible because the Kohen intended to eat it or burn it, say, Murim, after the appropriate time, and Noser, meat of a carbon that was left over and not consumed within its appropriate time, a metame the hands. The Gemara states that either Rav Huna or Rav Chista said that the Rabbanim created this rule because of Chajde Kohuna, the suspected Kohanim, and the other said it was due to Atzli Kohuna, the lazy Kohanim. The Gemara, as explained by Rashi, says that the Tumah Maraim did not disagree. One taught that Pigol's metame the hands to prevent unscrupulous Kohanim from intentionally making a carbon Pigol so as to cause a loss to its owner. The Rabban therefore decreed Tumah on the hands to be Matriach the Kohen to immerse them, which would serve as a deterrent. The other one taught that Nosar is Matami the hands to prevent lazy Kohanim or Yisraelim from failing to eat the carbon on time. Point number two, the Mishnah records Malchokas Tanaim about someone who is eating meat of the carbon Pesach and meat of a Chagiga, each of which requires its own bracha. The Rashbam, quoting Tosefta, says that before eating the carbon Pesach, one says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Asher Kedishanu Le'acho HaPesach. And before eating the Chagiga, he says, Le'acho HaZevach. Rabbi Shmuel says, Birach, Birach is a Pesach, Pater Shal Zevach, Birach Shal Zevach, Lo Pater Shal Pesach. If one said the bracha for the carbon Pesach, he exempted himself from saying the bracha for the other carbon, the Chagiga. But if one said the bracha for the other carbon, meaning the Chagiga, he did not exempt himself from saying the bracha for the carbon Pesach. Rabbi Akiva says that neither bracha exempts a person from his obligation to say the other one. Rashbam explains that the Torah requires that the blood of a carbon Pesach be poured on the wall of the Mizbeach, and that the blood of the Chagiga be thrown on two corners of the Mizbeach from a distance. The Gemara explains that both Tanaim agree, while Shvicha B'Klal Zrika, pouring, is not included in throwing. And the Machlokes revolves around the issue of whether Zrika B'Klal Shvicha, whether throwing is included in pouring. According to Rabbi Shmuel, throwing is included in pouring, so that the bracha of the Pesach exempts the bracha of the Chagiga. Rabbi Akiva holds that throwing is not included in the pouring, therefore requiring a separate bracha for the Pesach and Chagiga. And point number three, the Gemara brings an incident that Rabbi Simlai attended the Pinyon of Ben, where the people said it's obvious to them that the father makes the bracha al Pinyon of Ben, since he's the one doing the mitzvah of redeeming a son. They were in doubt, though, as to who recites the Shehecheyanu, the father or the Kohen. Does the Kohen recite it to Kamate Hanalide as the physical benefit of this mitzvah, meaning the redemption money reaches his hands, or does the father recite it to Ka'avid Mitzvah because he's performing the mitzvah? Rabbi Simlai did not have the answer and asked in the Beis Midrash and was told, Avi Ben Mevarak Shtayim, the father and son recites both brachas. The Gemara concludes, Vehilchas Avi Ben Mevarak Shtayim, and the halacha is that the father of the son recites two brachas. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chaf Am Beis stated, HaPigol VaNos Metaminas Yadayim, Pigol, a carbon that became possible because the Kohen intended to eat it or burn it, say, Morim, after the appropriate time, and Nosar, meat of a carbon that was left over and not consumed within its appropriate time, are Metame the hands. The Gemara states that either Rav Huna or Rav Chista said that the Rabbanim created this rule because of Chajde Kohuna, the suspected Kohanim, and the other said it was due to Atzli Kohuna, the lazy Kohanim. The Gemara, as explained by Rashi, says that the two Amoraim did not disagree. One taught that Pigol's metame the hands to prevent unscrupulous Kohanim from intentionally making a carbon Pigol so as to cause a loss to its owner. The Rabban therefore decreed Tumah on the hands to be Matriach the Kohen to immerse him, which would serve as a deterrent. The other one taught that Noser as metame the hands to prevent lazy Kohanim or Yisraelim from failing to eat the carbon on time. Point number two, the Mishnah records a Malchukas Tanaim about someone who is eating meat of the carbon Pesach and meat of Chagiga, each of which requires its own bracha. The Rashbam, quoting Tosefta, says that before eating the carbon Pesach, one says, Baruch atah Hashem, Asher Kedishanu, Le'acho HaPesach. And before eating the Chagigi, he says, Le'acho HaZevach. Rabbi Shmuel says, Birach, Birach is a Pesach, Pater Shal Zevach, Birach is Shal Zevach, Lo Pater Shal Pesach. If one said the bracha for the carbon Pesach, he exempted himself from saying the bracha for the other carbon, the Chagiga. But if one said the bracha for the Chagiga, he didn't exempt himself from saying the bracha for the carbon Pesach. Rabbi Akiva says that neither bracha exempts a person from his obligation to say the other one. The Rashbam explains that the Torah requires that the blood of a carbon Pesach be poured on the wall of the Mizbeach, and that the blood of the Chagiga be thrown on two corners of the Mizbeach from a distance. The Gemara explains that both Tanaim agree, Lo Shvicha B'Klal Zrika, pouring is not included in throwing, and the Machlokas revolves around the issue of whether Zrika B'Klal Shvicha, throwing, is included in pouring. According to Rabbi Shmuel, throwing is included in pouring. So the bracha of the Pesach exempts the bracha of the Chagiga. Rabbi Akiva holds that throwing is not included in the pouring, requiring a separate bracha for the Pesach and the Chagiga. And point number 3, the Gemara brings an instance that Rabbi Simlai tended opinion of Ben, where the people said it's obvious to them that the father makes the bracha of opinion of Ben, since he's the one doing the mitzvah of redeeming a son. They were in doubt, though, as to who recites the Shehachianu, the father or the Kohen. Does the Kohen recite it the Kamat de Hanalgde, as the physical benefit of the mitzvah, meaning the redemption money, reaches his hands, or does the father recite it the Kavid mitzvah, because he's performing the mitzvah? Rabbi Simlai did not have the answer and asked in the Beis Midrash and was told, Aviyah ben Mevarakhtayim. The father's son recites both brachas. The Gemara concludes, V'hilchasa Aviyah ben Mevarakhtayim. And the lacha is that the father of the son recites two brachas. All right, so now we got our Simra Daf Kuf Chaf off, and this one was suggested to us by a number of people. Lior Raps from Yerushalayim, Shimon Ziegler from South Fallsburg, New York, Jeremy Shine was from Woodmere, New York, and Danny Wolf from Denver. They all suggested Kuf Chaf off as cocoa, and Lior Raps said specifically a cocoa bean, so we use a cocoa bean farmer. So here goes. The hardworking cocoa bean farmer who was incensed when he saw a lazy cohen leave over some Kodesh meat, while another one was mefagel his enemy's carbon, threw and poured hot coffee on them that was being brewed for his son's pidyon haben. Once again, in slow motion. The hardworking cocoa bean farmer, that must be one duff, Kuf Chaf Aleph. The hardworking cocoa bean farmer who was incensed when he saw a lazy cohen leave over some Kodesh meat, while another one was mefagel his enemy's carbon, which reminds the Mishnah duff Kuf Chaf Aleph Beis stated, a pigel v'nos metame siyadayim, pigel, and nos from metame the hands. The Gemara states that either Rav Huna or Rav Chisda said the Rabbanim created this rule because of Chashdei Kohuna, the suspected Kohanim, and the other said it was due to Atzlei Kohuna, the lazy Kohanim. The Gemara, as explained by Rashi, says that the two Amoraim did not disagree. One taught that pigel's metame the hands to prevent unscrupulous Kohanim from intentionally making a carbon pigel so as to cause a loss to its owner. The Rabban therefore decreed tumah on the hands to be matriach the kohen to immerse them, which would serve as a deterrent. The other one taught that noser is matami the hands to prevent lazy kohanim or Yisraelim from failing to eat the carbon on time. So the hardworking cocoa bean farmer who was incensed when he saw a lazy kohen leave over some kodesh meat, while another one was mefagel his enemy's carbon, threw and poured hot coffee on them. Which reminds us, the Mishnah records about Malchus Tanaim about someone who was eating meat of the Karban Pesach and meat of Chagiga, each of which requires its own bracha. On the Karban Pesach, the bracha that's recited is Le'echo HaPesach, and before the Chagiga, it's Le'echo HaZevach. Rabbi Shmuel says, Birch, Birch is a Pesach, Patras Shol Zevach. Birch Shol Zevach, Lo Patras Shol Pesach. If one said the bracha for the Karban Pesach, he exempted himself from saying the bracha for the other Karban, but if one said the bracha for the other Karban, the Chagiga, he did not exempt himself from saying the bracha for the Karban Pesach. Rabbi Kiva says that neither bracha exempts a person from his obligation to say the other one. The Rashbam explains that the Torah requires that the blood of a carbon pesach be poured on the wall of the Mizbeach, and the blood of the Chagiga be thrown on the two corners of the Mizbeach from a distance. The Gemara explains that both Tanaim agree that lo shvicha b'klal zirika, pouring, is not included in throwing, and the Machlokes revolves around the issue of whether zirika b'klal shvicha, throwing, is included in pouring. According to Rabbi Shmuel, throwing is included in pouring. So the bracha for the Pesach exempts the bracha for the Chagiga. Rabbi Kiva holds that throwing is not included in the pouring, and therefore he requires a separate bracha for the Pesach and Chagiga. So the hardworking cocoa bean farmer who was incensed when he saw a lazy Kohen leave over some Kodesh meat, while another one was mefagel his enemy's carbon, threw and poured hot coffee on them that was being brewed for his son's pinyon of Ben. Which reminds the Gemara brought the incident of Rabbi Simlai, who attended the pinyon of Ben, where the people said it's obvious to them that the father makes a bracha of all pidyon haben, since he's the one doing the mitzvah of redeeming his son. But they were in doubt as to who recites the Shehachianu, the father of the Kohen. Does the Kohen recite it as the physical benefit of this mitzvah, meaning the redemption money reaches his hands, or does the father recite it because he's the one who's doing the mitzvah? Rabbi Simlai did not have the answer and asked in the Beis Midrash and was told, Aviyah ben Mevarakhtayim, the father of the son recites, the Gemara concludes, V'hilchasa Aviyah ben Mevarakhtayim. And the halacha is that the father and the son recite two brachas. So once again, the hardworking cocoa bean farmer who was incensed when he saw a lazy cohen leave over some Kodesh meat, while another one was mefagel his enemy's carbon, threw and poured hot coffee on them that was being brewed for his son's pinyon haben. All right, that concludes the three topics and the Sibin Hadron Halach Arvei Pesachim of Slikawa Masech of Pesachim. Mazel tov to everyone for completing the fourth Masechta in this Machzor of Daf Yomi. 120 blot, 360 topics, organized in our mind, blot after blot, with the use of simanim. It's a great achievement. May we continue to grow mechayel achayel and mizocha to complete all of Shas together. Now it's time for a four-blot back chazara. Daf Kuf Yazayin. So the simran is a gabbai with a lot of keys. So here goes. The gabbai who uses many keys. Gabbai using keys? That must be run Daf Kuf Yazayin. The gabbai who uses many keys to guide the kehillah in the reciting of Hallel as they reenacted the crossing of the Yam Suf, which reminds us, as Malchokas regarding the origins of Hallel that we see on the Yom Tovim. Rabbi Yossi said, his son Elazar says that Moshe ben Yisrael recited it when they ascended from the Yam Suf, but his colleagues disagree and say that David HaMelech recited Hallel in response to his personal experiences. He said Allah's words more logical than theirs, because is it possible that during all the years from Yetzias Mitzrayim until David HaMelech's time, the Jewish people shechted their Pesachs and took their Lulavim and didn't recite Hallel? And also, is it logical that Micha's idol is standing in Bechi and the Jewish people instituted reciting the Hallel? Rashi explains that Bechi is the place where the idol stood during David HaMelech's reign. So the Gabbai, he uses many keys to guide the Kehillah in the reciting of Hallel as they reenacted the crossing of the Yam Suf, was distracted because he was rehearsing in his mind his "why did the chicken cross the street" joke, which reminds us, Abraisa explains the distinction between two slightly different phrases that commonly introduce chapters of Tehillim. The David Mizmor, meaning for David, a song teaches that the Shekhinah rested on David HaMelech and then he sang the song, whereas Mizmor LaDavid, meaning a song for David, teaches that David HaMelech said the song and then the Shekhinah rested on him. From here and another pasuk the Gemara brings, we learn that the Shekhinah only rests on a person mitoch devar simcha shel mitzvah, amidst the joy associated with the mitzvah. Rav Yudah said in the Mirav Kenel Devar Halacha, so it is for words of Halacha, that is, in the teaching of Torah, joy is an important tool. And the Gemara illustrates this with Rabbah, who used to open up his shiurim with a milsa di beduchusa, a humorous thing, and the Talmidim would laugh. But afterwards he would sit in trepidation, upasuk shmaisa, and then begin his teachings. Rav Nachman said, and so it is for a good dream, meaning if one wishes to have pleasant dreams, you should go to sleep in a happy state of mind. So the Gabbai, who uses many keys to guide the Kehillah in the reciting of Hallel as they reenacted the crossing of the Yam Suf, was distracted because he was rehearsing in his mind his "why did the chicken cross the street" joke that he was going to give to begin his shir on the Bracha of Avos. Which reminds us, the Gemara cites the source of the Bracha of Avos. Rabbi Shimon Lakish said, the Torah states, Hashem said to Avram, "Ve'eschel goy gadol, I'll make you a great nation. Zehu she'omrim el kei Avram." This is the pasuk that teaches that we say the God of Avram in the first Bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei. "V'varechecha, and I'll bless you," is the source for saying el kei Yitzchak, the God of Yitzchak. "V'gadol shemecho, and I'll make your name great," this is the source for saying el kei Yaakov, the God of Yaakov. "Yachol yehu chos min b'chulan," it could be thought that we conclude the Bracha with the mention of all of them, Talmud Lomar v'yeh Bracha. The Torah therefore teaches, "and you," referring to Avram, "shall be a Bracha," which implies b'cha chos min v'ein chos min b'chulan. We conclude the Bracha with you, and we do not conclude it with all three of them. Daf Kuf Yud Ches, so the Simra Kuf Yud Ches is Kichol. So here goes. A great Hallel was recited as 26 mega-sized kichels. Mega-sized kichels? That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Yud Ches. A great Hallel was recited as 26 mega-sized kichels descended from the heights of the universe, which reminds us it was taught in a Braisa. Revi Gomer is a Hallel, Va'omra Hallel HaGadol, over the fourth cup. One completes the Hallel and recites the great Hallel. These are the words of Rabbi Tarfon. There are those that say he recites Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. He recites Psalm 23, Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not lack. The Gemara asks, why is it called Hallel HaGadol? Rabbi Yochanan said, because this psalm relates to the Kadosh Baruch Hu who dwells in the heights of the universe and distributes food to every creature. As it says, Nosen Lechem V'chol Basar. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, what do the 26 reasons to give thanks in Hodu respond to? They correspond to the 26 generations of humanity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in his world, and he didn't give them the Torah, Vazan Osam Bechazdo, and he nonetheless sustained them through his kindness. So a great Hallel was recited as 26 mega-sized kichels descended from the heights of the universe upon people being redeemed as they crossed through the sea, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a number of statements based on Pesukim about the difficulty that providing food for people involves. A man's food is twice as that which is endured by a woman in childbirth. It's more difficult than the Geula and more difficult than Kriyas Yamsuf. So a great Hallel was recited as 26 mega-sized kichels descended from the heights of the universe upon people being redeemed as they crossed through a sea, as well upon schools of fish who enjoyed this tasty reward. Which reminds us, Rabbi Nassim said, "Ve'emes Hashem lo'olam, dagim shebayam amaru," and the truth of Hashem is eternal, was said by the fish in the sea. And this is based on Rabbi Barmari, who said that when the Jews emerged from the Yam Suf, after it split for them, they rebelled by saying, just as we're emerging from this side, so are the Mitzrayim emerging from the other side. Whereupon, Hashem commanded the sea to spit out the Egyptian corpses. The sea complained, "Rabbono Shalom, klum yesh evit shenosim rabu matana, v'chozim enotum imenu. Master of the universe, is there a slave whose master gives him a gift and then takes it back from him?" The Rashbam explains that the corpses were a gift to the sea because the fish would eat them. Hashem assured the sea that he would give it back 1.5 times their amount, and the Kishon Brook would be his guarantor. The sea then spit out the Egyptian corpses, as the pasuk states, "V'yar Yisrael Mitzrayim, Meisal Svasayim," and Yisrael saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When the debt was repaid through the Kishon Brook swallowing the 900 chariots under Sisera's command, the fish proclaimed, "Ve'emes Hashem Olam," and the truth of Hashem is eternal. Daf Kuf Yud Tes, the symbol Kuf Yud Tes, is a kite, so here goes. At the annual Kite Festival, that must mean our Daf Kuf Yud Tes. At the annual kite festival, colorful kites of all shapes and sizes carried treasure chests of gold and silver away from a foreign land, which reminds us what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Kol Kesef Zahav Shebaolam Yosef Wikdu Bohibiyu Mitzrayim. Yosef gathered all the silver and gold in the world and brought it to Mitzrayim, and when Bnei Israel went up from Mitzrayim, they took all the money from them, as it stated, Be'inatsu Etz Mitzrayim, and they emptied Mitzrayim. The money remained in Eretz Yisrael until the reign of King Rehoboam. Thereafter, it was repeatedly taken from the Jewish people by the other nations and then recaptured by them until it was taken in succession by the Chaldeans, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans, and it still remains in Rome. So at the annual kite festival, colorful kites of all shapes and sizes carried treasure chests of gold and silver away from a foreign land. High above the men sitting at a royal feast where the king lifted the Koshel Bracha, which reminds us that we learned from V'yigdal ha'yod v'yigamal, and the child Yitzhak grew and was weaned, and Avram made a great feast on the day Yitzhak was weaned, that Asi to Kosh Baruch Hu Aso Su'udos Tzedikim, that in the future Kosh Baruch will make a great feast for the Tzedikim on the day that he bestows his kindness upon the progeny of Yitzhak. At that time, after they eat and drink, they'll then offer the Koshel Bracha to Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, and Yeshua to recite Birchas Hamazon, and each one will say that they cannot recite the Bracha for different disqualifying reasons. It will then be offered to David Melch, who will say, Ani Avarech Veli Na Levarech, I shall recite Birchas Hamazon, and it's fitting for me to recite, as it says in the Pasuk, Kos Yeshua's Eso B'Shem Hashem Akra, I shall raise the cup of salvations, and the name of Hashem I will invoke. The Marshal explains that since David built Yerushalayim and his son Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, he was qualified to thank HaKadosh Baruch for the major themes of Birchas HaMazon, such as Bris Milah, the Torah, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and the Beis HaMikdash. So at the annual kite festival, colorful kites of all shapes and sizes carried treasure chests of gold and silver away from a foreign land. High above the men sitting at a royal feast, where the king lifted the Koshel Bracha, and reminded a chef not to bring out the Viennese dessert table, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Eim aftirin achar Pesach afikomen. We may not conclude the Seder meal after eating the Pesach offering with afikomen. Rav said this means shul yakrim chabura chabura, that after eating the Pesach, people should not uproot themselves from their group to go join another group. The Rosh Hashanah explains that according to Rav, the word afikomen is a contraction of the words afikomen naihu, take out your eating utensils from here so we can go and eat somewhere else. Since according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Pesach cannot be eaten two places, the Rabban prevented the eating of any food in another place, lest someone take along some of the Pesach meat and eat it in the second place as well. According to Rav, if one remains in his original place, he may eat other foods as well. Shmuel says it means that after the Pesach, one should not eat desserts, which were called afikomen, a contraction of afikumine, bring out a variety of sweets. The Rosh Hashanah explains that since kodshim should be eaten in the manner of kings who do not eat ravenously, the Pesach should be eaten late in the meal when one is no longer hungry. Eating after the Pesach would suggest that one is still hungry. Tosafot say the reason is that the taste of the mitzvah should remain in our mouths. Daf Kuf Chaf, the siman is a cook. So here goes. The cook, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Chaf. The cook at the Economy Pesach Hotel, who refused to serve maror because it's only at the Rabbanan, which reminds us, Ravi says, Matzah bezman hazed deraisa umaror derabbanan. Matzah nowadays is still a mitzvah deraisa, but maror nowadays is a mitzvah derabbanan. And the Gemara explains that maror is not deraisa because the Torah requires the carbon Pesach be eaten on matzahs morarim, with matzahs and bitter herbs, which we learn from this. Bezman deka Pesach yesh maror, bezman deleka Pesach leka maror. That when there's a carbon Pesach, there's a mitzvah deraisa to eat maror, and when there's no carbon Pesach, there's no mitzvah deraisa to eat maror. Regarding matzah, on the other hand, a second pasuk states, Be'erev tochu matzos, in the evening that follows the 14th of Nisan, you shall eat matzos. Rav Achmar Yaakov disagrees and says that matzah and maror are both the Rabbana nowadays, and the pasuk Be'erev tochu matzos, in the evening you shall eat matzos, is coming to teach that someone who is tamir or bederech rechoka, or on a distant road, who cannot partake of the Pesach, still is a chiv deraisa to eat matzah. So the cook at the Economy Pesach Hotel, who refused to serve maror because it's only the Rabbanan, and matzah for the last 6 days of Pesach because it's only optional, which reminds us, the Braisa that supports Rav states, Sheishas Yamim Tochum Matzos B'Yom Shvi Atzeres L'Hashem El Kechot. For 6 days, you shall eat matzah, and on the seventh day, it shall be a gathering for Hashem your God. From here, we may infer, Mashvi Rishus Av Sheishas Yamim Rishus. Just as the seventh day is optional, meaning there is no requirement to eat matzah on the seventh day, so too are the 6 days optional. The Braisa explains how this inference was made. So the cook at the Economy Pesach Hotel, who refused to serve maror because it's only the Rabbanan, and matzah for the last 6 days of Pesach because it's only optional, really infuriated the guests when he told them they must finish eating by chatzos. Which reminds us that the Mishnah states, HaPesach Acher Chatzos Metameis Yadayim. the Karban Pesach makes the hands tummy after Chatzos. The Gemara explains that at that point it becomes Noser because it may no longer be eaten, and Noser is Matami one's hands mid the Rabban. Rav Yosef says that this mission is only consistent with the view of Rabbi Elazar and Azariah, as it was taught in a Braisa that the Pasuk says, V'achos abasim b'layla zeh, and they shall eat the meat on this night. Rabbi Elazar says that it says on this night, b'layla zeh, and it says, regarding Makos Bechoros, V'avarti b'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla zeh, and I will pass through the land of Mitzrayim on this night. So just as Makos Bechoros refers to night up until midnight, so to hear by the eating of the Pesach, the prescribed time is up until midnight. Rabbi Kiva said to him, but does it not say that you shall eat the Pesach b'chipazon in haste, which implies that you shall eat the Pesach ad shas chipazon, up until the hour of haste, meaning until daybreak, when you will hasten to leave Mitzrayim. The Pesach b'layla zeh is coming to teach that one must have thought that the Pesach could be eaten during the day, just like other kadshim. The Pesach comes to teach, b'layla hu necho ve'eno necho b'yom. It's eaten at night, but it's not eaten by day. So we see from here that Belazim and Azariah holds that it's innocent the rights to eat the Pesach after Chatzos. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos Shabbos and Erevin. Number 1. Which topic learned that Rava holds Maror Bezman Hazeh is a Rabbanan and Rav Acher Bar Yaakov holds the Matzah is too? That's on Daf. Kufchaf. Good. Number 2. Which topic learned that providing sustenance for someone is harder than a woman? Childbirth bringing the redemption and creates Yamsuf? That's on Daf. Good. Number 3. Which of you learned the question of the bracha on the Pesach exempts the bracha on the Chagiga is based on the Marokas if Zericha is Bechol Shvicha? That's on Daf. Kuf Chafav. Good. Number 4. Which Daf do the Marokas Rabban Shmuel regarding the meaning of Afikomen? That's on Daf. Kuf Yotes. Good. Number 5. Which of you learned one may swallow matzah whole but may not swallow marah whole because he needs to taste the bitterness? That's on Daf. Kuftas Vav. Good. Number 6. Which of you in the David Melch will take the kosher bracha, the suda, that the kosher bracha will make for the tzaddikim lasin lavo? That's on Daf. Kufiotes. Good. Number 7. Which of you in that the Aviyah Ben makes both brachas of the Pinyin Ben, of all Pinyin Ben and the Shechiyanu? That's on Daf. Kufchavav. Good. Number 8. Which of you in that eating matzah on the final 6 days of Pesach is only a reshus? That's on Daf. Kufchav. Good. Number 9. Which other one the Yosef at Tzadik amassed all the world's wealth in Mitzrayim, and Ben Israel took it with them when they left? That's on Daf. Kufiotes. Good. Number 10. Which other one the Pigo is Metami the Adayim because of Chashdei Kohuna, and Nosrim is Metami the Adayim because of Atzli Kohuna? That's on Daf. Kufchavav. Excellent. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we discuss? Who is greater, Bali Tshuva or Tzadik and Gemurim? That's on Daf. Lamadal and Brach is good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn that we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel? That's on Daf. Vav and Erevan. Good. And number 3. Which stuff do we learn that Har Sinai has 5 different names? That's on Daf. Peites and Shabbos. Excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldin Zichron. Wishing you a great day and great learning.